Yivamos, Perek Dalad, Mishnah Zayin, 4-7. This Mishnah has two parts that are really unrelated. The first part is talking about the laws of inheritance, and the second are the forbidden relationships that are created through Chalitza. So here on the first part of inheritance, the question is, how does inheritance work when we're talking about the estate of the deceased brother? So let's just make sure we have the halachas clear in general how Yerusha works, inheritance. So if there's a father, Yaakov, and he has three sons, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. If Reuven dies, so his children will be his heirs. If Reuven has no children, and we're talking about a Yibum case here, so of course our Mishnah will talk about a case where there are no children, so then Reuven's father would be his heir. If he's alive, he would inherit from his son, Yaakov. And if there is the father, Yaakov has died in the meantime, so then, I mean prior to Reuven's death, so then the two brothers, Shimon and Levi, will inherit Reuven's estate on equal footing, each 50-50. That's the basic rules of inheritance. Now, as we kind of said before, and we'll see one in this Mishnah very clearly, that if one performs Yibum, let's say if Reuven dies, leaves a widow, has no children, and Shimon is Miyabem, Reuven's widow, so then he kind of steps into Reuven's shoes, and Reuven's entire estate flows to Shimon. In fact, the word the Mishnah here will use is Nachala. Nachla means an inheritance, but a Nachal is like a river which flows, the idea is it flows in. So if one does Yibum, he becomes like the full and only exclusive inheritor of the estate of his late brother. Okay, so now the Mishnah says inside, Hacholetz Leivimto, if one performs Yibum with his sister-in-law. So again, the three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven dies, he had a wife, Rachel is her name, let's say, and Reuven has no children. So then Rachel now falls to Yibum. If Shimon performs Chalitza instead of Yibum, so now that means Rachel goes free, but now who inherits Reuven's estate? Harei hu ke'echad min ha'achin l'nachla. He, meaning Shimon, who performed the Chalitza, is just like all the other brothers, in this case the one other brother, Levi, in terms of the inheritance of Reuven's estate. So Reuven's estate will be divided 50-50 between Shimon and Levi. Now the chiddush of the Mishnah is, you might have thought that since either A, you know, Shimon has chance to inherit and he gave it up by doing Chalitza, or B, you might think, listen, by doing Chalitza, Shimon has undermined Levi's chance of inheriting the full estate. So you might have thought that one of those two reasons, or both those reasons, there should be some preferential treatment towards Levi, but there isn't. Reuven and Shimon are equal footing. It says the Mishnah, Vim Yesham Av, if Yaakov was still alive at the time of Reuven's death, so then, even though Shimon did Chalitza, that's not relevant, Yaakov is the person who inherits his deceased son's estate, so Yaakov the father gets everything of Reuven, and in the meantime, Shimon and Levi don't get anything, because Chalitza was done instead of Yibum, and of course, eventually Yaakov will die, and the sons will inherit. On the other hand, now that was the Chalitza case, what happens if Shimon performs Yibum? Hakonas as Yivimto, if Shimon elects to, I'll call it marry, bring in, like Chuppah, doing, he does Bia, and he now is Miyabim, his sister-in-law, taking her as a wife and perpetuating the marriage of his late brother. So then, Zacha benachasim shel achiv. He, Shimon, the Yavam, who now marries this woman, takes her in, he is the sole inheritor of the estate of his late brother, Reuven. He gets everything. And that will be the din. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds that whether one performs Yibum or not doesn't undermine the zechuyos, the rights of the father, if he's alive. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bein kach u bein kach. It doesn't matter whether Shimon elects to do Yibum or Chalitza. Im yesham av, if their father Yaakov is alive, then nechasim shel av, then Yaakov the father will inherit his late son's estate, regardless of whether or not the sons, the brothers of the late Reuven, perform Yibum. Okay. That's the first part of the Mishnah. And again, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, so one who does Yibum inherits. Now, a totally new point, like a new Mishnah, Ki'ilu. So this part of the Mishnah wants to talk about the new forbidden relationships that are created when one performs Chalitza. So just take a step back here again. Let's get the big picture. Under normal circumstances, typically, if there are these brothers, let's call them Reuven, Shimon, Levi. So typically, Shimon and Levi have no relationship at all to their sister-in-law, Reuven's wife, and therefore her whole family tree is permitted to them. But once Reuven dies and he has no children, he leaves over this widow, and there's like a Zika, there's like, you know, to the brothers. So now, in the meantime, while the Zika is there, Reuven and Shimon become, as so to speak, the Zika is kind of like a marriage. So they become like kind of married to her, so to speak, on some level. And therefore, all her relatives that would normally be forbidden, if they were married to her proper, become forbidden to them. That's Midr Rabbanan. Now, once the Zika is resolved, let's say Shimon performs Yibam, or Chalitza, that matter makes no difference. So then Levi, now the Zika has been removed, Levi can marry anybody in his sister-in-law's family tree, because even though they had a Zika once upon a time, the Zika is gone, and now he can marry whoever he wants. The point of our Mishnah here is to say that when one performs Chalitza, we treat it as, because Chalitza resembles divorce so much, Chalitza is so similar to Gerushin, we're going to treat the person who performs Chalitza as if he married and divorced his sister-in-law. And if one marries a sister-in-law, then a whole slew of relatives become forbidden, new halachas, these are even on a deraisa level. If one actually marries a woman, so then we'll actually see there are seven different relationships which become forbidden midoraisa. And although when we're talking about chalitza, there's no deraisa marriage happening here, we're treating those seven relationships, relatives of the woman, as that would be prohibited midoraisa had they really married, to be forbidden midorabanan even after chalitza. And similarly, there'll be a host of forbidden relationships that would have been created if they really got married, which would restrict her, the chalutza, the widow, from marrying the relatives of the choletz, of her brother-in-law who performed the chalitza, as if they had been married. Okay, so the Mishnah will list seven on her side and six on his side. The seven on her side come first, and those, again, are the ones that would have been forbidden midoraisa if they actually been really married, for real. Even after chalitza, the seven are prohibited. Then we'll have a list of six on his side. This is more complicated. Some would have only been Usher Midarabanan, some Midaraisa. More on that in a moment. So first, let's see the Mishnah inside in the first half. It says, Hacholetz Liyavimto. If one performs chalitza with his sister-in-law, so then Hu Usher Bekrovo Seha, he, although the Zika is severed and they've gone their separate ways, he still is forbidden to marry her relatives, as will be enumerated in a moment, as if they had been married. Behi asura bekrovav, and she will be still be forbidden to marry his relatives, even though they're now severed through the chalitza. Who usur? He is forbidden to marry the following seven of her relatives, of the chalutza's relatives. Again, this is a list that would have been a list of the doraisa prohibitions had they really gotten married. First of all, he's forbidden to marry Be'ima, her mother. Uve'im ima, her grandmother on her mother's side. Uve'im avia, also her grandmother on her father's side. Ubevita, her daughter. Remember, she could have had a daughter from a previous marriage. Ubevasvita, her granddaughter through her daughter. Uvasbena, and her granddaughter through her son. Again, these children were born from a different marriage. Not the late brother, of course, then there wouldn't be a Yibam situation. And finally, Uvachosa, and also he can't marry her sister, Bizman Shi Kayemis, all the while that she, the Chalutza, is still alive. As far as sisters go, there's a separate prohibition. Bechayeha, during her lifetime, the Pasuk says, you can't marry a woman and her sister, but if the woman dies, then you could marry the sister. And therefore, if one performs Chalitza, he can't marry the Chalutza's sister, but if she dies, then the Chalutza's sister becomes permitted to him. Just make a note to yourself in the Mishnah that this caveat, Bizman Shi Kayemis, all the while she's alive, only applies to the sister, her sister, but it wouldn't apply to her mother or daughter, etc. Okay, so those are the first seven. Those are the seven relationships that he is forbidden to engage in, and all of those would have been a deraisa if they had really been married instead of performed chalitza. Now we're going to have six. Oh, sorry, the Mishnah then, excuse me, says, Va'achen mutarin. Although this guy who's the choletz, who performed the chalitza, he can't marry those seven relationships, the other brothers can. Once chalitza is performed, so then the zika is severed. Now they're not even sort of married to her, if you will, and therefore her sister and mother and daughter and so on become permitted to them. Now she, the chalitza, is going to be forbidden in six different ways to the choletz, the brother who did chalitza with her. Now this lists, if they had been married, some of those people on this list would be a deraisa and some would be only midirabanan. So let's go through them one at a time. Something that's a little bit confusing, I think, is that whenever the Torah speaks about arayos, forbidden married relationships, so it focuses from the perspective of the man. So for example, it says a person may not marry his daughter-in-law, kalaso, his son's wife. It doesn't say that a woman may not marry her father-in-law, okay, because those are reciprocal relationships, it's the same relationship. But the Gemara and the Chumash always focus on, like, I'll call it kalaso, daughter-in-law, and never chameha, her father-in-law. Okay, so this list here, since we are talking about who she can't marry, we're focused from her perspective, but I'll translate them back to being, so to speak, from the man's perspective, from the psukim, or whatever it'll be, so they're the more familiar list of isurim. And again, some of these will be prohibitions that would have been a doraisa had they really been married, and then gotten divorced, and some will be just derabanan, shnios, like rabbinic extensions of the doraisa. So here we go. The first is aviv. Ba'aviv, she is, he is her ba'aviv, she may not marry his father. Okay, now that's an ister d'oraisa because of the equivalent of kalaso, of daughter-in-law. In other words, right, she was married to Reuven, then Shimon did chalitza with her, so Shimon's father, by the way, is also Reuven's father, is forbidden to her because it's her father-in-law, which is kalaso, meaning it's Shimon's father, so that means it's Shimon's father's son's Reuven, his wife, kalaso, okay, or Shimon's wife, kalaso. So that being the case, if they'd been married, if Shimon had married her, then Shimon's father couldn't marry her because it'd be his daughter-in-law, and therefore, although they did chalitza, still she cannot get married to his father, as if, because the father, it's kalaso. Okay, second of all, avi aviv, his Shimon's father's father, Shimon's grandfather. That actually is only a durabanan, even if they had been married for real, because that's called like kalas bano, one's like granddaughter-in-law, if you will. And that's also, this is a durabanan, but here it's going to be still usher for her to marry. Third of all, you've got bano, his son. That means Shimon's son. Okay? So, we're talking here a case of even if it's Shimon's son through another marriage, of course, because not her own son, but Shimon has another son. So she can't marry that person, and that would be a doraisa if they'd been really married, because that's the same as Ashes Aviv marrying your father's wife, right? Shimon's son, Shimon had married this woman, so then Shimon's son would relate to her as his father's mother. Okay, that's forbidden with doraisa if it would have been real marriage. And fourth, you have Ben Beno. This is a grandson, Shimon's grandson. Again, from a different woman, of course. That would be Isra Durabanan because it's Ashes Avi Aviv. It's marrying your grandfather's wife because it's Shimon's grandson. So Shimon's grandson marrying Shimon's wife would be a Durabanan, an extension, Sheni, and therefore she can't marry his grandson, even after chalitza. Fifth, you have Achiv, his brother. So, of course, we're not talking about the brother that was Reuven's brother also from the father, but necessarily but a father from the mother's side. So, in other words, Shimon has a different mother, let's say, than Reuven, but those brothers are forbidden to her also after chalitza. And that would be a doraisa because of the halach of, you know, Ashes Achiv, marrying your brothers, even for your mother, but your brother's wife. Okay? And finally, Ben Achiv Me'av, this is a little more complicated than the family tree. That would be a doraisa had they really been married. Here's the family tree. So let's say you have Reuven and Shimon and Levi are brothers. Reuven dies. Shimon does chalitza. Levi has a son named Ben Levi. So we're saying that Rachel the chalitza cannot marry Ben Levi, her Cholitz's brother's son. That's a doraisa because That would be derisive if they were married, because it's the equivalent of saying Eishes Achi Aviv Me'av, which is essentially your uncle's wife, the wife of the brother of your father, if it's from the same grandfather. So that is Aser Midoraisa, and therefore she, the Chalutza, Rachel, cannot marry Shimon's brother's son, Levi's son, Ben Levi, can't marry the Chalutza, Rachel, Midorabanan.